Well, our next special guest is a multiple ARIA Award winning artist, performed at such events as St Kilda's 150th, singing alongside Ella Hooper of Killing Heidi fame with Owen the Saints on that particular occasion, and a dedicated Saints fan, obviously keen to get on after the extraordinary events of the weekend. But Dan, thanks for jumping on, and I guess where do we find you in the world at the moment to kick things off?
I live in New South Wales these days. From Melbourne, from a city in Melbourne, but living up here these days. Yeah.
How did Dan? How did you get to follow the Saints?
Oh, get is an interesting word.
How were you cursed? How were you cursed?
No, I don't see it that way. I mean, I don't see it that way today. My father and the generation before him and the generation before them were all St Kilda. They're from St Kilda and Elwood area, and a lot of them living in Black Rock. Now my father grew up in Black Rock. I spent a little bit of time growing up there, but not as much as the rest of my family, that side of the family. We've always been St Kilda. Yeah, there was never any other way. It's as we all know, it's complicated, you know. And I've seen people drop off and come back and all of that stuff, which I think for any other club it might seem a bit slack, I guess. But me personally, I understand. When it's happened, it hasn't been an easy thing, but it's I wouldn't have it any other way. You know, I got young kids now, and sat and watched the last quarter with my 6 year old the last quarter the other night with my 6 year old, and she's very excited about it, and it feels a little irresponsible on my behalf, but at the same time, I'm up and about, and I think she's going to see, and she'll only know great things, you know. And I should say from the outset, many people watching this episode and who follow you, I'm sure would have a much a greater grasp on the game than I've got. I said, Nick, when we were talking online, that there are certainly better football brains than I am, but I'm a big vibe guy, you know, and it hasn't always felt good, but it feels good now. And this is a season where we're not going to be playing finals or a chance to play finals, and obviously they're not the flag, of course. But I see it. In 23, when we were playing finals, I didn't see many players, and this is not a criticism on individuals or the playing group then, or, you know, players that are still playing now, but I didn't see much flying the flag in 2023 or before that. The first time I saw it was against Gold Coast in that really low-scoring game when Dimmer and Gold Coast played a really ugly style of football. I know that always gets put onto us and Ross, but that's a bit of low-hanging fruit, and that just says more about the so-called journalist who says it than the actual game itself and actually what's going on. That was the first time I saw us really flying the flag, you know. Up until then, I'd see our kids get smashed over the boundary line and some players just run past some St Kilda players, wouldn't even pick them up, let alone remonstrate. And of course, all needs to be within the rules, but you got to fly the flag. And, you compare that to Hugo against Butters when we finally beat Port this year. Or I saw Hugo and our skipper, the man of steel, in the Frio game, where we broke a few records in that game too, you know, with Sarong was getting stuck into our skipper because he wasn't having a good game. We didn't allow him to have a good game. And Hugo was right there, you know, and he got a jumper punch from Sarong and Hugo put him on the ground. And I just love it, you know. So I see it. I see a huge shift in culture. And I think when the wins start coming, which they do, because that's what Ross Lyon does. He coaches teams that win. I think it's going to be pretty wild. Our best is unbelievable. Like the last quarter the other night, like beating Geelong earlier this year, like what we did to Fremantle, you know, our best is very, very good. So look, a young side is always going to be inconsistent, which we are, because we obviously lost to West Coast, you know, who are in, they're trying to build something as well, you know, but we're arguably, we were playing better footy than them. And, you know, we're pretty inconsistent, right? So I get that. But to see what it's like when we're at our best, I don't see many other sides being able to stack up to it. Again, there's probably going to be a lot of people who think I'm mad and I don't know what I'm talking about. And maybe I don't, but that's how I feel, you know, after 41 years of seeing it and seeing us have success and play finals and make flags. And, you know, I've seen it and I've seen the spoons and I've seen the bad drafting and the bad luck. I've seen all of it, you know, so that's how I feel about it.
So you say 41 years, so you've seen plenty of ups and downs and, I mean, quite a few downs. We've had the few ups and that sort of thing. But what's your earliest memories of St Kilda? Did you go to Moorabbin back in the day? Did you get to many other grounds around you obviously up in the other part of the city? What were your earlier memories of the club?
Yeah, I think my first memory is a Swans game at Moorabbin where we won. And I remember my dad explaining it to me. And I remember vividly thinking that once you get to that amount of points, then that means you've won. And dad explaining that, no, whoever's got the most amount of points by the time this particular siren goes, because there'd been sirens all day, you know. And I was little, I would have been 5 or something, you know. Anyway, he explained to me what it was. And we won. But yeah, so I would have been 5. I don't even know if they would have been in Sydney yet at that point. But yeah, well, we used to go to Moorabbin all the time. And then back to Black Rock to either watch the replay or not, you know.
Probably would have seen you at Moorabbin at
we were
that
on
point.
The hill. We're on the standing hill that we always used to go there. Well, I spent a lot of time on flattened cardboard boxes on the other side of the hill, racing down, you know, with all the kids. There was plenty of that too. But yeah, we were a big Moorabbin family. We'd go there a lot.
We used to sit in the Huggins stand. We had seats in the Huggins stand. But I remember one of my earliest memories was chasing Plugger from goal square to goal square. Every quarter as they swap ends. You got to play and perform in front of Plugger at the Saints 150 game on the center of the MCG. What was that like?
It was pretty wild. Yeah, you mentioned Ella Hooper, who was there. Alex Leahy as well, who's a mad Saints tragic as well, was there. Yeah, it was a wild experience. So that sort of 09 and 10 side, so Ross 1.0, I did a best and fairest in 11, I think. I performed at a best and fairest, and I knew a few of the players from then, so like Dell and Schneider and a few people like that. Not too many. I was never particularly close with anyone, but, you know, I see Dell now at things and, you know, we have a little catch up. But so they're all lined up in the center square and a sort of few waves and things like that. And I know Uncle Nicky too, Uncle Nicky Wimmer, just from running, you know, knowing quite a few of the same people for a long time. I actually got a birthday card from him.
Wow.
My auntie signed me up as a junior member. So, you know, they send out birthday cards from favorite players. I think it was, might have been my 8th or 9th birthday. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then years later, I now know him and call him a friend, you know, which is great. But Leahy and I, and like I said, she's nuts, you know. I think she might even be more nuts than me. And she's got a bit more of a football brain as well. We start to talk about it and she talks about things that are a bit beyond me, if I'm honest, you know, and I'll just go like, yeah, totally, you know. But she understands things that I don't. I'm a big vibe guy, like I said. But we ran to where they were, to the race that they were all heading to afterwards. We were meant to sort of cross from where we'd sung pretty much 180 to the other side of the ground where our rooms were and where all our gear was before we'd go and up into the stands. And we, you know, if the race and the goal square, I don't even know which end. I get all turned around at the G. I'm not sure if it was a puck or the other. But that's where all the players were going. So rather than going from where we sang to where we were told to go, we just ran straight to where the players were. So I actually shook Plugger's massive hand, you know, and said a quick hello. I wasn't a pest, but I, you know, caught up with Nikki there as well, you know. So I wasn't just a complete random, I guess.
Yeah.
But I've been in a few things. The number 7 for me has always been a big deal. So Lenny, you know, there was Uncle Nicky and then Lenny and, Lenny, I just loved him and still do. I named my car after him, actually. I got a Lenny. It's called Lenny Hayes. Yeah. Pretty tough, unstoppable. Yeah, keeps going. I'd sort of seen him at a few things. Like I'd get a ticket from the club, so I'd be sitting up with all, you know, Stewie Lowe would be in the vicinity, and I'd walk past Lenny and go, Lenny, you know. He's always pretty stoked, you know.
Dan, I want to ask you just before I give back to Darren, we've mentioned Ella Hooper a couple of times. I don't know if she's a Saints fan or not.
No, she's not. She's a demon.
She's not. Right. Yeah. But playing at that game wasn't the first time you've performed with Ella. I remember you on Rockwiz about 12 years ago. Maybe even longer.
Yeah.
Doing what I consider one of the greatest Beatles covers of all time. And there aren't many great Beatles covers. I'm a Beatles geek.
Oh, right.
And your cover with Ella Hooper of With a Little Help from My Friends from Rockwiz is one of the great Beatles covers of all time. So
yeah, it's a great thank song. You for that. I mean, it was the cover of a cover. So it was like
the Joe Cocker.
Yeah, it's the Joe Cocker version, which is an unbelievable version. You know, when you've got such a perfect song like that, and then you've got on top of that, you've got such a perfect version of it. It's just the hard work's been done. You just got to not stuff it up, you know.
Well, the Cocker version's great, and I thought you guys did even better with that band, with those backing singers. That performance was just incredible.
Yeah, thanks. That was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was good.
On that space, obviously, there's a lot of St Kilda supporters within the celebrity realms. We're probably the best represented in many respects. Obviously Eric Banner and Reese Muldoon, yourself, Marina Pryor,
Samuel L. Jackson.
Samuel L. Jackson, of course, Harvey taking a hanger on him. Obviously Michael Gidinski, the late Michael Gidinski, and so many others in sport, Klim, Stozer, etc. I'm always curious why that is. You know, a lot of really successful people in those circles who barrack for the Saints were just really well represented there. Do you have sort of that connection, if, you know, a lot of people are on tour where you're, you know, you might be running into some of these people and there's Saints fans everywhere and there's always that sort of common grounds?
Maybe it's the tragedy.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, a lot of these celebrities work in the arts and there's a... Maybe that's it. I don't know. Look, you mentioned Gidinski, who's a friend of mine and I'm a friend of the families, and, you know, rest in peace. Gidinski knew everybody, you know, so I mean, I don't know this for certain, but I'm sure anytime he would be bringing an act in or, you know, having a lunch or a dinner, you know, I'm sure he did a lot of work lining a few things up, you know, a jumper and a photo here and there. But I'm not really sure, you know, of what it is. Tex Perkins is another one as well from the Cruel Sea, who is a lifelong saint. I know that he...
Ross Wilson,
yeah. Tex had to take a bit of a step back, actually, for his own well-being, I think. I don't know.
It's tough sometimes.
I don't know if he'll come back. You know, we'll see. But he was a long time saint. You know, he hasn't started going for anyone else. I think he's just stopped watching footy altogether. So yeah, that's pretty extreme. But there's a lot of that. I don't know what that is. You know, I'm not really sure. I know that. I think there's a photo of Robbie Williams with the Saints jumper, but then, of course, famously Carlton, you know. But, yeah, you know, Carlton always find a way to do something like that, you know.
But There's a photo of Elle Macpherson in a Saints jumper too.
Oh, yeah. It is a bit of a thing. I'm not really sure what it is. I know in my case, I don't know if I don't necessarily consider myself a celebrity, certainly not to the extent of some of the people that we've mentioned here, you know. But for me, it was a lifelong thing, generational. My auntie Patty, who's in her 80s now, showed me a letter from the St Kilda Football Club after the 66 grand final, talking about us thanking her for her support and that they won't be resting on their laurels, and this is the first of many, you know. Like it's really quite amazing, and obviously quite tragic, you know. But you know, they didn't put a time limit on it, you know. But yeah, and she was at the grand final with my father. So my dad was. She was like his younger auntie. I think she would have been, I don't know, what's that, maybe 16 or 17 or something. Maybe my dad was 13, so she might have been in her 20s or something like that, you know. And they were there at the 66, yeah. Speaking of which, I think last night, obviously I wasn't at the 66, but last night for me was the greatest thing I've seen as a Saints fan. Hands down. I saw someone talk about it where they said it's not meant to be like this for Saints fans. It's always an honourable loss, or it's a, you know, great, well done, you know, good signs kind of thing. And it was last night felt different. Or the other night felt different, you know. It was, pretty amazing. And then to see footage of them, I know that they had a family function event that was already planned, and they were doing that later on after the game, and to see how that ended up with Naz on Ross's shoulders, you know. And I met Ross, and I love Ross. I love him, and I feel like he's I feel like this is the best we've been since he was here last time, you know. And there's always a lot said about him not winning a flag. I would never say that Collingwood didn't win that flag, and I would never say that Geelong didn't win that flag, because they absolutely did. But I will say, after Geelong, they brought in score review, and after Collingwood, they brought in extra time. So I feel like it's not as simple to just say that Ross didn't win, or those Saints didn't win. They didn't win, but I feel like there's a bit of an asterisk there, you know. And again, I'm sure there'll be people who think I'm an idiot for saying that, and they're within their rights, but I'm right.
No, I think they've had plenty of guests come on and say those sort of things. So we've had guests come on and say plenty of them say those sort of things. I think a few of them have covered both topics. So
definitely not the first one. I don't think it's as simple as to say he just didn't win. You know, he obviously didn't win when he coached Freo against the Hawks. The Hawks were pretty amazing that day. But as far as Saints and as far as the Saints flags and getting their 2 years in a row, you know, It's not an accident. And I think there were questions, not once he'd started, but I think there were questions when he'd come back whether he would be able to sort of adapt to how the game is now compared to how it was. And I think the answer is absolutely yes. And if anyone doesn't think so, I mean, Clarkson, who has got the flags, has won 8.5 games since he came back. And Ross has won 33 games, you know, with a lot of changes to the list. You know, I feel like we're in good shape. I feel like we're in good nick. And, yeah, I met him and he was very, I won't say what he said here, but I'll just say that he was very, candid about how things were when he arrived.
Yeah, right.
And, the things that he wants to do and he's wanted to do. And I think he is doing, even just the flying the flag thing that I mentioned earlier, you know, at the start of this interview, and that's the whole playing group and that's the whole setup and that's the whole club, of course, you know, but, yeah, I can see a real shift and a real change. And it, I think it's good. I don't begrudge any Saints fans for being cynical. And I know that there's Saints fans that still have issues with him leaving. I don't feel like that was his fault. I don't think we did things properly for a long time, you know, as a club, the way we treated. I mean, even our premiership coach, you know, in the 60s.
Mm.
You know, and we've only just, and I watched you guys, you did a good piece on it on a podcast a little while ago where, you know, people were getting, what was it, 20 cents on the dollar or whatever it was during the 70s, and they've only just been paid back their money, and the people who are no longer there, their families have been paid, you know, and it's things like that are really, really important. And it's just everything has to be done properly, you know. And I don't know, it feels like it is, you know. Can we talk about Max Hall as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, go tell us about Max Hall.
Just, I love him. Dairy farmer. When the buy happened, and I followed quite a few of the players, you know, and they're all having a well-deserved break, and they're all doing whatever they're doing. I looked at Max's story, and he was back on the farm, and he was working, and I just thought, oh, he's a monster, that guy. I love him. I reckon he's great.
So, a few years back now, the club organised a bunch of musicians and entertainers to give their own version of the club song. You did this yourself, and how did that come about? Did the club approach you? Was there word out that they were looking for Saints fans to do that? How did that all come about?
I think Gudinski, again, because I'm signed to Mushroom, which is Gudinski's, well, was his label, and it's now his son runs it with a few other people that have been there for a very long time, who are all, you know, where I'm close with a few of those people, and they're good people, and they've worked hard for a long time. And so, but at that time, Gudinski was still with us, obviously, and I think I imagine Michael would have lined it up. I mean, I have to be honest, I'm a lot more, I have a lot more to do with the day-to-day things as with my work and my career now than I did back then. I was pretty cruisy back then, you know. So I couldn't tell you exactly, but I think I just assumed that Gudinski, being so close with the club and close with me, and we worked together as well. Yeah, that's where I think that came from. Kabili kind of, you know, sort of version of it, you know, it was good fun.
Yeah. Well, our podcast theme song is also from that series. It's Lloyd Spiegel's rock version. I've known Lloyd for a long time. And I remember when that came out and we decided to do this podcast, the first thing I did was text Lloyd and say, "Hey mate, can we use your song from the Saints Unplugged series or Unplugged series?" So, mate, how do you keep up with the Saints when you're on tour and working and playing and performing and all that sort of stuff?
Well, look, I'm pretty hopeless, right? Because I don't watch it. I can't watch it. Like, I can watch it when I'm home alone. Like, I mean, like, the dog can't even be home, you know. Like, I'm pretty full on. So I watch on the app, and I swipe down and refresh the screen, and I dive into the stats, and I watch replays once the games are finished. Because in the moment, I'm just too full on. Like, I had tickets to, I think both, but definitely had tickets to 2010 grand final, and I didn't go. I sat at home with the blinds drawn, and I watched The Simpsons, you know, and I checked the scores. And I actually, one of the times I did check back, because we were coming back, this is the first one before they kind of smashed us the following week, but I turned it back just as Goddard took the mark, you know. And I was like, oh, this is it, you know. And then I think I watched it till the end from there, or maybe I switched it off and turned it back a couple of times. I can't remember. It's all a bit of a blur. But so my point is the way I keep up with it, it makes no difference where I am, or, you know, whether I'm in town or whether I'm near a TV or anything. If I've got Wi-Fi, then I'll just check the app and check the scores, you know. That being said, I do go to games. We rarely win when I go. I went to Adelaide at the start of this year. I played a show in Adelaide. My mate of mine, who we play in my band together, is an Adelaide fan. And so the show was, you know, Saturday night or whatever it was, and the game was Sunday or Friday night, and the game was Saturday, whatever it was. Oh, let's stay an extra night. Oh, that's a great idea, you know. And our mate got us tickets, who actually has quite a bit to do with the club. So the tickets that he got has a bit to do with the Crows, right? So the tickets that he got were sitting with all of the families of the Adelaide Crows players. Right. So I'm sitting in front of Tex's mum, literally, you know, we're having a good chat, you know. And so I mean, I was pretty chilled, which was good, because I didn't want to, you know, my mate got us the tickets and, you know, and you don't want to be disrespectful, you know, people's families, you know, all of that stuff. But yeah, I went to that and I was like, I'm never going to, I can never go again. And me and the skipper, we're not particularly close, but we're sort of friendly, and he organized, like room passes and stuff like that. And I messaged him a few days later. I was like, oh, I read the room a bit, or I read the vibe, and I decided to leave it. And he was like, yeah, thanks. Appreciate that. Yeah. So I don't know. I do get along, and I do go, you know, but I'm very superstitious. I think when we make the flag, I think I'll go to Melbourne for it, but I'll sit outside and check the app. I'll have a ticket, but I'll sit outside and I'll check the app, you know.
And then decide whether to come in.
Yeah, I'll come in for the song, you know, or maybe not. I don't know. I don't even know what I do. And it's not a fair weathered thing either. It's actually the opposite. I'm just completely just mad for it. Now, the game the other night, the match winner, my kids are actually watching telly. And then I was checking the app like I always do, and I saw us just going ding, 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 you know. And I was like, this is pretty wild. No commentary or anything, of course, so I'm not aware that it's going to be, if it happens, it's going to be history or anything like that. I'm not aware that it's, you know, I'm looking at the stats a bit, but I'm not really aware that, you know, like Higgins has had his best game in a while because he had such a great start to the year, but then, you know, we've sort of missed him a bit, you know. I'm not aware of just all the storylines. Hasty, you know, the stuff mm-hmm. that he's doing. I mean, I've obviously watched it a few times since, you know, but like that mark that he took where Cozzy was behind him and he was going for the specky, but Hasty was in front and copped it like he was getting a specky taken on him, but actually took the mark, you know, on the wing. And then on the opposite wing, the pressure act that he created for it to go out of bounds, which then led to Wood kicking it to Naz to even the scores, you know, Hasty, who cops it a bit, you know. I don't like these kids copping it. I try not to read comments because I'm a bit nuts. I take it all a bit personally, you know. So I'm not seeing any of that. I'm just seeing the scores ticking up. And anyway, they go upstairs to start to get ready for bed and I've just seen the scores level. And I'm like, oh, well, I'll put it on, you know. And it's loading, and it literally comes on as the ump holds the ball up, blows the whistle, and they all just start running, and I don't know what's happened, and throws it to Rowe, who, you know, then kicks it to Naz, and then the siren goes, you know. So I did get to see that live, which I'm...
Pretty good end to see. Pretty good end of a game to see.
I was about to say, yeah, you wouldn't have been able to curse that because... The streaming's on a 30-second delay about anyway, so that's good.
It all passed me by anyway. See, it's all just silly superstition.
So, mate, before we let you go, what's next for Dan Sultan? You got some tours coming up, some shows. You got album. What's next for you?
I've had a big couple of years touring, so I'm not going to be touring that much. I'm actually just heading into the studio to make new work, and that's really exciting. I'm sort of doing a bit of traveling for that, which is really good, and working with an incredible producer, songwriter, who I've wanted to work with for a long time, and anyway, I'm able to do that, and so that's exciting, and that's as far as I'm looking, you know. We'll just make some music and see what happens after that.
You get some Ross the Boss references in any of the new tracks.
I don't think it'd stand for it.
you did mention before that there are bigger footy heads than you, but then you dropped a lot of really good historical stuff that I'm like, yeah, you're selling yourself a bit short there. You're a you're absolutely one of the bigger ones that we've spoken to. But thank you very much for jumping on. Good luck with the journey going forward. And yeah, we appreciate you giving us some insights.
This is it. Ross, this group, we're going to add a bit more to it. This is it. This is what it looks like. It's exciting. That's my vibe. I'm a vibe guy.
Thank you, mate.